no surprise with so many injuries. You know, LeBron James has taken more field goals, more shots than we've ever seen in games one and two from anyone in NBA history. And really, it's going to have to continue for them to have any chance.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I think LeBron understands that. He's getting a little bit out of his comfort zone, but just shows you what a great player he is, that he can do that if that needs to be done. Yet at the same time, he still realized that, you know, you have to get your teammates involved. You have to still get production out of them. And in game two, he had a great complement of both scoring and getting his teammates involved. So you got to expect, especially at home in game three, where generally role players and you know, just the average guys in your team, not the stars, play better at home. So you can bet that LeBron James is going to try to get them even more involved than he did in game two.
Leo, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but there were some questionable calls in game two. The NBA, they released their report saying that, yeah, the refs did screw up some calls late in game two. Have you ever seen the NBA go back so quickly and admit they were wrong on some obvious calls?
Well, the NBA this season has really tried to be open. You know, they've done it with replays. You're allowed to, the fans are seeing on TV exactly what the referees are looking at. And they've been very, very clear in how they're addressing those calls. And, you know, what people don't realize is the NBA is probably, without a doubt in my mind, the leader in all sports and how they handle their officials. On a game-to-game basis, you know, in the finals, for example, you have an observer at the game. You have four people watching on video every call. You have the head of officials and three advisors breaking every call. And, you know, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes as well. Like, you know, they'll admit, you know, they'll say, oh, yeah, there were some missed calls. But there's a hefty penalty to be paid for officials that screw up. That's not publicized. That's not talked about. But, you know, they lose assignments. They're fined. And there's a lot of things behind the scenes that go on to ensure that this game is officiated properly.
Leo Routens joins us, previewing Game 3 between the Golden State Warriors and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Leo, the series now shifts back to Cleveland, as you mentioned. Who's been the best Cavalier in the series not named LeBron James?
Well, at least for Game 2. He didn't play much in Game 1, but Matthew Dellavedova's great. I mean, he just did a phenomenal job. And you really got to look beyond, you know, the one game in the finals. Throughout the playoffs, he's been a star. He's been playing great basketball. You know, gutsy, heady, doing all the little things that you would want somebody to do in light of the fact that Kyrie Irving earlier wasn't 100% and now not available to play. So, you know, his play certainly stands out. And I think the other one that you have to make note of is Timofey Mozgov. The big fella in the middle was a huge acquisition in midseason for Cleveland, and he has been tremendous in the playoffs, especially in the finals. He's active. He's big. He takes up space. He runs the floor. He's scoring around the bucket. And, you know, he's really doing a solid job, considering his background, considering where he's came from, and considering the platform that he's playing on now. He's been tremendous.
I want to get your opinion on two former members of the New York Knicks that are now with the Cleveland Cavaliers, J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert. Leo, did you know they could play at this high level, or is it just the New York Knicks were so bad it almost brought them down?
Well, there's no question of their talent. You know, that was evident even when they were in New York. Shumpert, he's been up and down. You know, he had a devastating knee injury, after his first year, and he hasn't quite been the same. But defensively, he gets after you, and you kind of know what you get with him. J.R. Smith is an entirely different animal. He's, you know, he had a tremendous half a season since coming to Cleveland. He was great in all the early rounds of the playoffs, and he's been basically terrible in the finals. And a lot of knucklehead mistakes, which is something that's characteristic for him, unfortunately. And he's just got to realize that at this level, where you're playing right now, you may miss some shots and you may not have a great game, but you can't be a knucklehead and hurt your team with silly fouls and dumb mistakes. So he's got to straighten his act out, but, you know, honestly, they've been a big lift to the Cavaliers. What they were dealing with in New York was just a horrible situation. And at times, yes, they were contributors. But, you know, there's an old saying, you can have one donkey in a team, but you can't have more than one because they breed. And that was what was happening in New York. There's a lot of breeding going on.
I love that saying. Leo Routens from TSN. joins us. He's definitely far from a donkey. Tristan Thompson has been an absolute beast, especially on the defensive end of the floor, Leo. He's a guy who's, you know, has almost accepted he's sacrificing. He's not going to do anything offensively. Would you like to see them involve him more offensively, or right now is his best attributes going to be strictly on the defensive end?
Well, you know, his best attribute is defensively and rebounding. There's no question about that. Tristan has been a monster in the offensive glass, you know, giving them second and third shot opportunities. And remember what that does. When he's offensive rebounding, crashing like that, you got to keep guys in. And that means you can't get out and run anytime you want because you're so worried about keeping these guys off the glass. So that's prevented Golden State from being the kind of running team they want. Defensively, boy, he's been great. He gets out, he switches out, he'll take Curry, he'll take Thompson. It doesn't matter. He'll go against big or small. And he just plays it the right way, and he's been so aggressive. So, you know, that's definitely where he's going to help the team the most. His offense has tapered off with Irving not being around. When Irving's playing, there's a lot more penetration, both from LeBron and Irving, and they distribute. And that allows Tristan Thompson a lot of great opportunities around the basket. So his numbers have dipped now that Irving is out, but, you know, he's still, you know, you still got to look at it for what he is, and that's a rebounding machine and a defensive player.
Leo Routens joins us. Leo, everybody was crediting, you know, great defense by Cleveland in game two, but there was a few shots that were just simply atrocious where a guy's not even under pressure and normally a very good shooting team was missing. Was that just a one-off game from Golden State, who's clearly the best shooting team and has the best shooter in all of basketball, or did you see something that Cleveland's defense was doing that had those guys even rushing shots when they weren't pressured?
Well, I think it was a one-off game for Steph Curry. I don't think he's going to shoot that bad again. But for everybody else, you know, you got to give Cleveland credit. This really is Cleveland's job of disrupting Golden State. They haven't given them. If you look back in the early rounds of the playoffs and during a regular season and look at how many open shots Golden State gets, how many great shots in transition, they're running. You know, there was a stat I heard, you know, going into the finals that Steph Curry had the most uncontested and made threes in the playoffs. And that's unheard of. How do you give the best shooter in the game uncontested shots? And Cleveland has just said, we're not doing that. We're going to get into you. We're going to make this a grinded out game. And because of their presence on the offensive glass, as I mentioned, and their pace, when you get to the free throw line, you slow the game down. You force the other team to have to play 5-on-5. And Cleveland's done a great job of getting their free throw line. So what you've done is made it more of a half-court game, and you're contesting everything. As a result, Cleveland, the Golden State Warriors just haven't been able to get a rhythm, especially Steph Curry. He's been struggling. All those easy shots, the shots on the fast breaks that normally make you feel good about your game and you just get everybody going, they're not there. And as long as Cleveland can prevent those shots from presenting themselves, they're going to give themselves a much greater chance to win. And so far, they're giving no indication they plan on letting up.
You look at this series now in Cleveland. Does home floor advantage in basketball really matter, Leo?
Yeah, it's huge. It really is. You know, you got to remember everybody's so close to the players, and you could feel the emotion. You could see the emotion. The referees are right there. I really do think that, you know, you see so many swings and so much at home when teams play that it really does create a big factor. And then, you know, the point I kind of hinted on earlier, that even with Cleveland, that, you know, they're the role players, the guys you don't expect a great deal from, they all play better at home. You know, home court, home baskets, home cooking, you name it, whatever you want to take it from. But that's where a lot of the players that aren't the stars play much better. And you it's very evident, and statistically it shows up. So that's a big factor. And I think, without a doubt, more so than probably any other sport, I think home court plays into the game.
Leo Routens from TSN joins us previewing Game 3 of the NBA Final. I want to get your thoughts on LeBron James, Leo. You've watched him very closely since he entered this league. He's won MVPs. He's won a bunch of type of awards. But this year, it seems like he's become more of a leader than we've seen in the past. Is this the most impressive overall season you've seen from LeBron James?
I wouldn't say it's the most impressive season. I'd say it's the most impressive run in the postseason. You know, here's the thing that, you know, why I don't like players doing what LeBron did and becoming the big three in Miami. When you're a star and you're a franchise player and you unite with other so-called franchise players, what happens is you're all deferring. You're never going to really get the best of LeBron because he's got to make sure there's Wade and Bosch involved. And you never had that with, you know, the Magics, the Birds. Yeah, they had great talent, but they were the franchise guys, and they didn't jump ship to try to play with other franchise players. And I think it is such a difference when you see LeBron, when, you know, it's clearly this is his team. And how everything that plays out is going to depend on him. And the other point that, you know, stars, I think we get confused sometimes with all-stars. Just because you made the all-star game doesn't necessarily make you a star. You know, you have to pick a certain number of guys or you're not going to have an all-star game. And in my mind, there's a difference between a star and a franchise player. And so when LeBron came to Cleveland, yeah, you have Kyrie Irving, yeah, you have Kevin Love, but you got a bunch of guys that LeBron is clearly in charge of, clearly the leader of, and they respond to him, and he elevates their game, and that's why he is a franchise player. And based on that and what they've done in the postseason, being shorthanded, you know, I think this has been the most impressive run I've seen from him.
Leo, each of these teams in the final does have a franchise player in Steph Curry and LeBron James, and they also have first-time NBA head coaches. When you look at David Blatt and Steve Kerr, which coach has impressed you more throughout the regular season and the playoffs with some of the things that they've done with their team?
You know, I think they've both done a great job. I mean, you know, David Blatt took so much criticism when he got there, which is really unfair. His experience may not be directly NBA, but he is a great coach, and a lot of things that they do are because of him. And, you know, coaching LeBron is a challenge in itself with the pressure that you have to deal with and the scrutiny. So, you know, I think that, you know, his job has probably been more impressive based on the talent available to him, the injuries, and having to coach LeBron. You look at Steve Kerr, he just made a great choice. He hung around and waited till that opportunity was available, and he's got, you know, a deep team, a very coachable team, you know, and his style and what he's brought to the table, making him much better defensively this season, and the way they move the ball has been great. So, you know, in their own right, they're both right there, and both have done an amazing job in my mind.
Leo, you've seen two games. Who do you like in the next five, if needed?
Well, I think this is a big game here, game three in Cleveland. So I'm going to wait and see what happens here. I'm going to give the edge to Cleveland. I think Cleveland can win this game. And if they can win this game, I think it really turns the series because, you know, they could easily be 2-0 right now. They've led in the first two games over 50% of the games. So, you know, tonight to me is a huge game, especially with the short turnaround based on how many minutes and the pressure on LeBron, how he's playing. If he can survive this quick turnaround and the Cavaliers can get this game, I think I would lean – towards the Cavaliers the rest of the way. So I'm going to base a lot of what happens on tonight.
Leo, I appreciate your time. Enjoy the game.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thank you.